your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 4. Ezra chapter 4. We'll read verses 2 through 6 together. And then we'll read two other verses later in the chapter. Ezra 4, verses 2 through 6. And we'll read this passage responsively. Ezra 4, verse 2. Then they came to Zerubbabel and the chief of the fathers, and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, asking Cyrus the king of Persia hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah, and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Let's look at verse 21. I'll read that one to you, and then we'll finish together on verse 24. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded, until another commandment shall be given from me. And let's read verse 24 together. Ready? Then cease the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So increase until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the presence of the Holy Spirit here in this place. God, all week long, every day, many times a day, hundreds of your people ask for your presence that are in this room. Lord, what an enjoyable thing it is to come to a place to know where your presence is here. It's quite obvious. Now, Father, please, this morning's blessings will not do. This morning's message, though the truth has changed our life, we have so far yet to go. Please use our preacher. Lord, what sad words we read about the work ceasing. May it never cease here. May it ever live in our hearts and work in our hearts, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning I announced to you that I would be preaching on the subject of opposition will come this evening, and that indeed is the case. The word opposition, it means resistance. Let me tell you, the devil is going to oppose you if you're doing something for God. I looked up the word opposition in the dictionary. It said antagonism, even hostility, to stop something from going forward. Well, we're to go forward for the cause of Christ. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. We're to go forward. Experience can deter some opposition in the church. If someone is experienced, they can see opposition on the horizon, and the pastor can lead the people so that you don't have unnecessary conflict. Prayer can douse the fire of much of opposition's flame, but I must warn you, there is no way that we will bypass all opposition. No way. And Brother Doolitt, that gentleman should sit in the back now for the rest of the service, all right? Thank you very much. You're not going to bypass all opposition. We can't. We can't. There's no human being alive that is as wise as the devil. The devil's pretty slick. And he's going to figure out ways to mount opposition against you and the church. Now, we read a passage of Scripture earlier from Ezra chapter 4. Let me tell you a little bit about it, give you a little history, and then I'll preach to you the sermon for this evening. The book of Ezra is what we call a post-captivity book. That means
after the Babylonian captivity, the book of Ezra was penned. The theme of Ezra is the rebuilding of the temple of God. You see, for years, the Jews had been in Babylonian captivity. The city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. Now, they're away from their city, and their city had been destroyed. And the temple of God had been leveled. In other words, the place where they met, the place, their church house, had virtually been destroyed. It was wasted. It was useless. Well, Ezra, the prophet, obtained permission from the king of his captivity to go back to Jerusalem to take some of the Israelites with him. Now, the purpose of Ezra taking those people back to Jerusalem was to start a revival. A revival among the people. A revival of the rebuilding of the temple of God. You see, the people had left the law of God. They had intermarried with the lost people and become idolatrous, and they needed revival desperately. His great purpose was to rebuild people and rebuild the temple. Well, the people who returned with him, they're listed. If we took the time, we could read Ezra chapter 1 all the way through Ezra chapter 2, verse 65. God needed everybody to participate. Now, not everybody did, and that's a sad thing. But God needed everybody to do their part. If you're a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, you are to have a part in the revival that God is giving us around here. And if you're not doing your part, you're going to be held accountable for it. Now, those who returned with Ezra back to Jerusalem, they were kind of in the minority. Ezra said, hey, the king's given us permission. We can go back to Jerusalem and let's go back and let's rebuild ourselves and let's rebuild the people and let's rebuild the temple. But many of the Jews, matter of fact, most of the Jews stayed behind. Why? Well, they had become so entangled in the affairs of Babylon that they had no desire to go back to God. They had no desire to go back to the house of God. Some started back, but they only came halfway back. They didn't go all the way with God. Oh, Christian, let me plead with you tonight that you don't go halfway with God. This whole world is full of halfway Christians. No, we need somebody that's going to go all the way with God. Go all the way, no turning back. Don't turn back. Don't go as the girl sang earlier. They said, I have no desire to go back into the world, and you shouldn't either. You ought to go all ahead full for the cause of Christ. Well, you find in Ezra chapter 2, verses 66 all the way through 70, that the people began to give. They began to give sacrificially. Why? Because they wanted to help the revival. And usually, when there is a building program or the rebuilding of something for God, it is God's best people that give the most. One of the greatest signs of a real revival is when the hearts of the people are giving. When God's people are willing to give of their money, but give of themselves as well. Give of their time. Ezra carried a burden for his country. He carried a burden for rebuilding of the temple. Now, the leadership here, Ezra was very important to this revival that was about to occur. You see, no doubt, if you know anything about the biblical history here, they probably could have returned from that captivity to go back to Jerusalem a long time ago. The only problem was, no leader rose up. No leader said, let's go do it. Let's go make something happen. Well, Ezra had a vision for the people that the people did not even have for themselves. Hey, let me describe a little bit of what took place at this time in Bible history. When they laid the foundation for the building of this great work, when they laid the foundation of the temple, when the revival started among the people, the Bible says in Ezra chapter 3, verse 8 through 13, that the people got to singing. They got to praising God together. Listen to Ezra 3:11. It says, and they sang a song together by course, and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. These people were excited about what God was doing. You need to turn it down just a little bit, Brother Hart. They were excited. The Bible says here, the people sang. In other words, they did not hold back. They sang. It did not matter to them what the person beside them thought. They sang. They lifted their voices unto God. Why? It's revival time. God's doing something. Something's happening. God is stoking in the hearts of his people a revival. It says that they sang. It says that they shouted. They shouted with no embarrassment. It wouldn't hurt some of you men every once in a while to shout amen. It wouldn't hurt you at all. You know, hey, look to your wife, look at her and say, may I have your permission to say amen in church? Some of you henpecked Harrys, it wouldn't hurt you every once in a while to raise your hand and say glory to God and get with it a little bit. If you were at a ball game, you would get with it. If you were at a ball game, you wouldn't be afraid to stand up and say, hey, look at that fella, he got a home run. Well, guess what? We had a whole bunch of people saved this morning. We hit a home run down at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and that's something worth getting excited about. Oh, they were excited. They were excited. In Ezra chapter 3, verse 12, it says, but many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men, they had seen the first house, talking about the first church. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Let me tell you what that's talking about. Some of the old timers that were there to see this new revival, some of the old Christians, some of the old dedicated saints of God, they were watching this new revival start. They were watching the new foundation for the new church start. And they sat there and they wept. They wept for joy. They wept because they said, we look forward to the day when revival would come to our people again. We look forward to the day when the preaching would be hot. We look forward to the day when the standards would be raised high where they belong. We look forward to the day when God would come in mighty power and not be average at the church and not be average in the people and not be average in our goals. We look forward to that. Some of the old timers sat back and just wept. Said, I remember when it used to be like that. I remember when we used to have revival like that. They wept for joy. Why? Because the religion around them was dead. There was apostasy. There was so much phoniness. There was Sunday religion and the other 6 days of the week, live any way you want. Everybody expressed their joy in a little different way. In Ezra chapter 3, verse 13, it says, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping. Some people were weeping because they were so excited about what God was doing. Others were shouting for joy, and you just couldn't tell the difference because they were just excited about what God was doing. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise were heard afar off. You know what that meant? There was a revival going on in God's children, and people were hearing it, not just down at the temple site. You could hear it from a long distance. Everybody was hearing this shout of praise. Everybody was hearing this shout of joy. Everybody was hearing the weeping of God's people over revival. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if people outside the church building knew what was going on inside the church building? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the people across the street at Quad Graphics would say, hey, I heard about what's going on over there at your church. One of our men was up in Hagerstown at a hospital of some sort. No. One of our men was up in Hagerstown, and he had to get a little help with a drug addiction problem. And when he was there, he said, I told them that I came to this church in one of my group sessions, and the therapist said, I know all about that pastor and all about that church. We've heard about you all here before. I'm glad. I hope that in all the areas around here, people are saying, have you heard the shout from Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? Have you heard the joy of the people down there? God has a revival going. God is doing something in that place. The noise of their praise to God was heard afar off. People everywhere heard what was happening. Hey, others ought to hear when revival's going on. Oh, but wait, let me tell you something. Opposition came. They started the rebuilding. They started a revival. They started a revival among the teenagers. They started a revival among the senior saints. They started a revival in the bus ministry. They started a revival in their Christian school. They started a revival among the lay people of the church. They started a revival in Sunday school. They started a revival of the old time standards where men were like men and ladies were like ladies. They started a revival like that. But as soon as they got that revival stoked up, the opposition came. And anytime the Lord's work is doing well, opposition will come. Anytime there is a revival, Satan will try to hinder it. This was the case with Ezra and the rebuilding of the temple. I'd like to show you a little while this evening some of the different methods of adversity or opposition that the devil brought trying to bring Ezra's revival down. And be sure of this. You see, most of this opposition came from without. You dead sure want to make sure that you're not a part of the opposition from within. Hey, our enemy's the devil, and he's on the outside of the church. But you make sure that you don't let the devil get into your heart and cause opposition inside the church. Oh, but there was opposition. What kind of opposition? Well, first of all, the wrong kind of people tried to join forces with the revival. The wrong kind of people tried to join forces with the revival. Ezra chapter 4, verse number 2. Listen to this. Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. They said, let us build with you. I got news for you. These were lost people. These were not people that were really serving God. You find out because you see the whole story there in this chapter of Ezra. These were not God's kind of people. And they come and they said, hey, let's join forces. Let's get together. These are heathen people asking to yoke up with God's people. These are people that did not believe the pure doctrines of the Word of God coming and saying, let's all just yoke up and have us an ecumenical movement. These kind of people always come around. Satan will always use these kind of people to try to yoke up with the church to destroy its purity, to destroy its doctrine, to destroy its stand. He'll get people who are experiencing revival to yoke up with people who have no true revival, have no intent for biblical revival, and they'll get them together and it dilutes the revival and it blows the fire out. We should stay separated from both the lost and the carnal Christians. Oh, you say, Brother Owens, are lost people to come to our church? Absolutely. They're to come here, get saved, get with the program, straighten out their life, and live right. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. But we're not going to yoke up with endeavors with lost organizations around the community. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. You say, well, they do some good. Let them go do some good. We're doing great good here. We're not going to yoke up with lost people in our endeavor. It's not going to happen. Well, yeah, some of you watch way too much TV. Man, you got this TV religion, and you got this religion, and this religion, and this religion, and this religion, and this religion. And let me show you what they all do. Stand up here, fellas. They all hold hands. They all hold hands, and they sway back and forth together, and they clap and sing Kumbaya, and you're so excited about it. You say, isn't that a movement? Yeah. And there are some movements that come from an upset stomach. And some of you need to realize that we're not going to be like that around here. We're independent, fundamental Baptists. We're going to stay that way. When I candidated for this church, I told you exactly what I was. I won't back off of that. I'm not going to change that. That school over there is a Baptist school. It's not an ecumenical school. It's not going to be. Hey, we're not going to join all the other so-called churches in town for an ecumenical Easter sunrise service. We're not going to do it. You say, why? They're not like us. They don't believe the same Bible we believe. They don't believe salvation the way we believe it. We're not going to join up with it. You say, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the Bible. You might fit in there because neither do they. You know something, Brother Smith? First 6 months I was in town, nobody came around asking me to join anything. The old revival struck hot. I got people coming to me on a regular basis saying, come join us. Come join us. Oh, Brother Owens, we would like to have you come join us. I'm not going to come join them. We got our hands full around here. We're going to keep people out of hell with pure doctrine, with no apology for it. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. We're not going to yoke up with the liberal crowd. You say, well, I know a church out there is doing some good. Let them go ahead and do some good. We're going to do great good here, and we will not dilute our stand to get a bigger crowd by bringing a bunch of heretics in here. We're not going to do it. If this church goes down to 10 people, we will take a stand on the King James Bible, salvation by grace through faith. Hey, if what we do does not build a big church, we're going to still do what we do according to the Bible, even if it builds a little church. We go soul winning because soul winning is what you're supposed to do. If it did not build a big church, we're still going to go soul winning. And if that rubs you the wrong way, you are ecumenical in your thinking. You've watched too much television, too much radio. You listened to some preacher that patted every religion on the head and said, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's not okay. If they don't preach salvation by grace through faith, that is the worst doctrine in the world. It is the doctrine that sends more so-called Christians to hell than any other doctrine. It is the doctrine that Cain was preaching when he brought of his works the fruit of the ground, opposed to Abel, who brought the blood, and it is still the blood that saves from sin. You see, they tried to get him to join forces. That's how they're going to ruin that revival. Hey, number two, they tried to trouble their building, the Bible says. Ezra 4:4, it says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. They weakened their hands. Hey, watch what you put in your hands. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. They weaken their hands. The Bible says here, they troubled them in their building. They hindered them while they were working. You know, when you start doing something for God, somebody's going to come along and try to hinder the work of God. They're going to hinder your work. Hey, listen, if you don't want to do great things for God, would you at least stay out of the road? If you don't want to do something great for God, step aside, because I got news for you. We're coming through. We're coming through. You say, well, Brother Owens, what do you do if there's false religions out there and the lost and they try to yoke up with you? Your first point, what do you do about it? What do you do? How do you handle it? I'll tell you exactly how you handle it. You just march straight on through. You don't back off. You say, I'm going back there, and that's what you do. You walk that way. You don't look, whoa. You don't let anything stop you. Not a thing. You don't let anything stop you from going forward for God. You've got to go forward for God. You see, well, they did not like it. Doesn't matter. It does not matter. They tried to trouble their building. They tried to weaken their hands. People will try to hinder the work of God. Nobody has the right to destroy somebody else's work. If you're doing something for God, somebody will try to hinder you. Suddenly, your family, some of you are going to find this out. You get all fired up for God, start living right, and some of your family's going to get religious on you real quick. They're going to say, oh, well, I do know something about religion. You're getting a little ridiculous. You're getting a little carried away. Since when do they know? Since when are they godly? Since when do they believe the Bible? Ever since you got on fire for God. Ever since you started getting a revival, your family's going to say, well, my goodness, you're just going too far with this thing. How do they know what too far is? Where did they learn that? You be sure, the devil used even people that you care about to hinder the revival in your life. Your so-called friends will suddenly get religion, and they'll try to douse your personal revival. It'll happen. You see, they tried to trouble the building. They tried to trouble the revival. First of all, you had all these people that came and said, hey, let us get in on that thing. Hey, we want to join up with you. It was the lost. It was the carnal Christianity, if you will. People that didn't have the right doctrine. We thought, well, if we just all pull together, we'll get this thing done better. No, it won't be long until it'll be so diluted. We won't be able to preach the truth without offending somebody. I have to be able to preach the truth. The truth offends. It really does. The truth will offend a sinner if you tell them the truth about their sin. I don't know about you, but when somebody preaches on my sin, sometimes I'm offended. You say, but Brother Owens, great peace have they, which love by law, and nothing shall offend it. I don't love his law like I'm supposed to. When you preach on my sin, it gets to me. But you get all those people from all those religions and all those churches say, come on down, let's join forces. You can't preach the truth. You'll have them shooting out every door, mad they'll burn down your church building and everything else. I am not going to advertise to get everybody out of these wild churches around here, trying to get them to come in here where they can dilute what we're doing. I'm glad for them to come, but if they're coming, they're coming on our terms, not their terms. This is a Baptist church. We preach Baptist Bible doctrine. I'm not changing that. I'm not apologizing that. If you go invite somebody and they got some weird religion, you just get ready. I'll probably say something about it. I'm not going to dilute my church trying to get a big church by fooling people that don't want that book into my church. I'm not going to do it. I will not dilute what I stand for to draw a crowd. Now, we'll be patient with people, and we'll teach them the Bible. But I'll tell you this, if you believe something other that's being preached from that book, from this pulpit, and you're coming to this church, don't you dare go around here spreading your false doctrine. Be a sad day for you. I won't tolerate. You say, what you going to do? You don't want to know what I'm going to do. You really don't. No, we're not going to have it. Hey, they tried to trouble the building. They want to stop it. They want to stop the revival. Number three, they hired counselors to frustrate the purpose of this revival. Listen to this. Ezra chapter 4, verse 5. And hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. Can you believe that somebody would be so wicked that they would hire someone to try to destroy a revival? They actually hired someone to try to destroy the revival and the rebuilding of that temple. Oh, that sounds low down. That sounds wicked. But look, it says here, and hired counselors. Now, some of you all be careful, because some of you are paying good money to have cable television to pump counseling into your home from people that don't believe that book. You have hired counselors that will destroy the personal revival that could go on in your life. You said, like who? Like Dr. Phil? I've not seen Dr. Phil hold up the King James Bible and say, Jesus is Lord. He is the answer to your problems. And Oprah? You hired Oprah to talk to you for 35 minutes. You paid for it. Amen? All right. Amen? Hey, we'll get out of here quicker if you just agree, whether you like it or not. Just agree. You know how I am. I'll stay right here. If I think I rung the bell and you didn't get rung yourself, I'll ring her again. Huh. Maybe they went to the television evangelist and the charismatic radio psychologist for their counseling instead of the Word of God and their church. Maybe they've been buying all the crummy books by all the so-called neos down at the Christian bookstore. Won't you check the books that you have on your bookshelf to see if they're King James references in them? Hey, you better be careful seeking counseling from your peers, your friends, yourself. I'd be careful. See, they hired counselors to frustrate the purpose of the revival. You want to keep a revival going on, you better be careful who counsels you. Better who be careful who gives you advice. They tried, the lost and the outside, they came in and said, we want to yoke up with you. They said, no, we're not going to do that. They tried troubling their building, weakening their hand. People are going to weaken you. They're going to bite and peck at you and tell you how you're ridiculous. Then they hired counselors to frustrate their purpose. Number four, they made it false accusations. Ezra chapter 4, verse 6, it says, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. The Bible says they actually wrote accusations against Ezra and the people of God that were having a revival. Accusations, which means it was false. They were saying things about them that's not true. You can be dead sure. If you do something for God, somebody's going to say something about you that's not true. Oh, why should you get out of it? Jesus didn't. Do you know to this day? Do you know to this very day they're saying, Brother English, that Jesus Christ had an adulterous affair with Mary Magdalene? Is that true? Should you believe everything you hear? And somebody ought to tell some of the people that produced the Passion show, because that's where I heard it in a commentary about someone said, well, we think that Mary Magdalene and Jesus probably had some sort of an affair. I've got news for them. That's not true. That's a lie out of hell. Don't you believe all that trash that they tell you in Hollywood? Amen. Accusations. Watch out, Brother McGill. Somebody's going to say something about you. They're going to say it. They're going to say it. Lies will be told about a person who's getting the job done for God. Happened all the way back here in the book of Ezra. Happened to Jesus Christ. Hey, and let me teach you something. When they rise up, don't believe everything you're told. Hey, people to this day say that about Jesus Christ. You know what they called D.L. Moody? They called him Crazy Moody. People spread rumors and lies about him? Well, sure they did. Hey, do you know that people spread rumors and lies about David? You just look through the Psalms. He said, boy, these vicious people are coming at me with their tongues. They're saying vile things about me. Read through the Bible and look at it. Somebody gets on fire and gets to doing something for God, there's going to be somebody that they're going to get jealous. There's going to get somebody that thinks it is their job to spread a rumor. Hey, they told lies about J. Frank Norris. They told lies about Lee Robertson and Tom Malone and Jack Lyle. And some people believe it. They just believe them. They didn't see anything. They didn't have any proof. They just tell the lies. You see, that does not happen. Huh. Right here it says there was a revival going on, and they wrote accusations against those people. Huh. People accuse successful because they're embarrassed that they're not personally successful. That's how it works. Hey, someone can't live up to another's example, so they try to pull the other down to their level or lower. You won't do the work that somebody else does, so the best thing for you to do is to pull them down under you. That's your only way to get above them, because you sure aren't going to work for it. People look for flaws in those that they want to be better than, and they're not. You just watch. Brother Jones, you are in business. You know how it works in business? If you can't beat them, destroy them. If you can't get up early enough, stay up late enough, stay on your knees long enough to beat them, destroy them. Destroy them. Use your words and destroy them. Dr. Smith and I were talking, and just so you all know, Dr. Smith and I made an agreement. We don't talk about any of you in your past. None. Not a lick. You got a clean slate, baby. Some of you going, phew. You been afraid of me thinking I knew? I don't know. It must have been the Holy Spirit was getting you, huh? Amen? Though Dr. Smith and I have talked, and he said, Brother Owens, he said, you wouldn't believe some of the rumors people around here, and I'm not talking about the church, but people around here have spread about me in the last 35 years. He told me a couple, and I thought, that's ridiculous. How stupid. You know what's stupider than some of the rumors? The people in the church would believe it. You panned out all right, Dr. Smith. Thanks for hanging in there. Woo! Your critics can just go eat crow because you did just fine. Oh, boy. Let me tell you. You say, Brother Owens, I heard something about you. No. Listen, what you heard, you don't know if it's true. Let me tell you the truth about me. I'm a dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner. I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve to have the wife that I have or the kids that I have. I don't deserve to be called to preach. But I'm saved by grace. And nobody can take it away from me. You want to know how bad I am? I'm rotten to the core. But I'm saved all the way through. Hey, I don't stand here because of who I am. I stand here tonight because of whose I am. I'm born again. I'm blood washed. I'm bought by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you hear something bad about me, that's fine. I don't mind. Hey, I've got a Savior. If you really want to talk about somebody, let's talk about Him. I'm not the issue here. Sure, you'll hear something about me. And I apologize if you do, but I'll tell you something. That's exactly what happened in the Bible. You say, Brother Owens, you think somebody's going to attack you? Did they stop? You don't preach like I do. By the way, I'm calmer here than I am across the country, just so you know. We're not there yet, folks. We're in a transition. We're getting there. We're getting there. Listen, you don't preach the way I do without having somebody criticize you. Yeah, sure it's going to happen. Sure it's going to happen. You notice all the critics don't attack Joe Blow that's got three on Sunday night in his church. Why waste their time? He's already destroyed himself. time to get a drink of water. What'd they do? Well, they made false accusations. They hired counselors to frustrate the purpose. They tried to trouble the building. They tried to join forces. What else did they do? The Bible says in Ezra 4:21 that they tried legal hindrances. Ezra 4:21, it says, "Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and the city be not built." And what that means when it says, "Now commandment that the work will cease," it meant we're going to try to pass laws to keep the work from going forward. I'm telling you, folks, there's coming a day in America that they're going to tell me that I cannot preach against sodomy. I was preaching up in London. No, I was preaching up in, where was I? I was in Canada, and there's a city up there that I was in. Somebody help me. What's a city in Canada? No. Toronto! Come on down. The price is right. Toronto! I was preaching for a pastor by the name of Brother Gatto at the at a Baptist church up in Toronto. I got off the plane. He was taking me to the airport. He says, in Canada, it is illegal to preach against sodomy. He said, you are considered homophobic if you preach against sodomy. He said, I know you. I just want to let you know what we might be facing. I said, I do not choose what I preach based on a country's laws except for the heavenly law, and that's a black book. And I said, if it's in my outline, I'm preaching it. He said, I just want to let you know, I thought you'd say that. I have the bail money ready. Hey, I'm not going to let the country of Canada tell me I can't preach that black book. And these folks mentioned Brother Roloff earlier, and they didn't tell Brother Roloff what to do either. They told him, you're going to have to get a license to run that girls' home. Brother Roloff said, I've got a license. It's the old KJB. I know what I'm doing. You've messed up these kids. Your country, your county, your federal homes are not straightening the kids out. I can get Jesus in their heart, the Bible in their mind. I can get a little salvation in them, and they will be just fine. And he did what he had to do. They put him in jail. Then it came out. I can't wait till the millennium. Brother Roloff is going to be in charge of Texas. Because that's where Brother Roloff is from. And there's going to be some people in jail down in Texas. And here's the good part, baby. They're not coming out. He came out, but they're not coming out. Hey, you listen to me. They tried legal hindrances. The Bible says they tried to get laws. Legal hindrances, like blocking building programs. City councils that had opposed the advancement of a church because of personal problems that they have. Liberal city leaders who attend liberal churches use their clout to hurt the old-time religion. Sad. I see it happen all over the place. I have pastors call me. I probably have, Mrs. Costa, where you at? What do you think? 3-4 churches a week that call me from pastors wanting help. What do you do about this, Brother Owens? How would you handle this? And a lot of it's coming to the point where they won't let me put a sign up out in front of my church. Why? Budweiser signs are everywhere. Yeah. If you're going to tell me I can't put a sign up that advertises Jesus Christ, then you need to take the Jack Daniels signs down. My goodness gracious, what's this country coming to? But it says they tried to get some commandments from the local law enforcement or the local government or whatever it was. And you know what happened? The work did cease finally. The Bible says in Ezra 4:24, then ceased the work of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. So it ceased. It's too bad. They pecked at him and pecked at him and pecked at him. And finally, they slowed the work down. But then Haggai and Zechariah came on the scene, and the Bible says, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, so it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius. What happened? Got her stoked back up again. Might have got knocked down, but they weren't knocked out. Hey, if something comes along and hinders the revival for a little time, that doesn't mean it's hindered forever. Pour a little water on the fire, but we can get her stoked back up. These two prophets fired up the people to rebuild the temple, and the work started again. Now, let me ask you something. Oh, let me tell you something about this. If you're doing nothing, the devil has no reason to fight you. Why fight a family? It's doing nothing for God. Say everything's smooth. Right. It's smooth because you're not an intimidator. Why would the devil waste his energy on a marriage that it's just numb? Never going to do anything for God. Don't plan to. Hey, listen, if the devil's giving you fits in your marriage right now, let me tell you something, Buster. Pull it out because God wants to use your marriage. The devil's trying to destroy your marriage because he knows the potential that lies within your family. Say, we're struggling with our teenagers, getting them to do right. Hey, what a good sign. It must be that God wants to use your young person. It must be that God wants to use your family. Because the devil, he does not fight those that are not worth fighting. Why waste his energy? Why would the devil fight your children unless he thought that they had a great future? Hey, girls, let me tell you something. God must have some big plans for your life. He sure has thrown you some curveballs. He sure did try to destroy you. He sure did try to ruin your life. He sure did try to ruin your potential. I've got good news for you. All of that was a sign that the devil didn't like it. He knew what you were going to do for God someday. Now, fat baby, write it and do something with your life. Don't let the devil stop you. Hey, when the devil starts, I worry when a church doesn't have problems. I really do.
You say, well, don't worry, Brother Owens. I've got one on the way for you.
Thank God for you. Hey, why? Why would the devil fight a bus route that's doing nothing for God? Why would the devil fight a Sunday school class that's doing nothing for God? Why would the devil fight a ministry that's doing nothing for God? He has no need to. Oh, but let me tell you something, Sunday school teacher. If you look at your Sunday school students and say, where are they? Why did I lose that one? I've got this disruptive student. It must be because the devil would like to see the work in your Sunday school class be minimized. Hey, music program, if you struggle, I've got news for you. It's probably because the devil knows what you're capable of, and boy, are you capable. Let me tell you something. Hey, bus captain out there trying to bring people to Jesus, you say, oh, our bus broke down. Oh, the next week they had a flat tire. Oh, the next time I've got an irate parent. Well, that's a good sign. Say why? It means the devil's trying to slow you down. And if we're going to have revival around the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church like we've been having for 22 straight months, you better be dead sure the devil's ticked off. He's not happy about it. And I can help us to deter a lot of battles. And I work very hard at that. You can ask my staff. When I see on the horizon a battle coming, we get together. I pray about it. We plan. We do what we can. We do what we can to fix it and to avoid it. But we are not going to change course because of it. We're not going to change what we believe because of it. If I can handle something peacefully, I will. But if it can't be handled peacefully, then we're putting the gloves on, baby. I don't like to fight, but I never ran from one. Nope. I don't like to fight. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. But it's bottled up in here if you want to try it. Listen, the greater the opposition, the greater the potential victory. If you can win the battle with the devil, God has something great for you. Hey, Phyllis, you've not been well. Thanks for fighting. She's back. One of the best bus captains in the history of this church is that lady right over there. Been sick as she could be. She's back. Thanks for not quitting. Thanks for hanging in there. Hey, if you can keep fighting, if you can make it past some of the obstacles, there's great victory. There's great victory. When you're in the valley, realize that there are two mountaintops for every valley. There are two mountaintops for every valley, and the deeper the valley, the higher the mountaintop. You fight in the battle, keep on going. The devil fights hard because he knows of the great victory that you could accomplish. He doesn't want you to accomplish it. See, Brother Owens, I'm in a Nashville liberal church. It's going to be very hard to get out of it. If it's hard, that may mean that God has a great mountaintop for you once you get yourself out of that mess. And by the way, in Ezra 6:15, the Bible says this, and this house was finished. Guess what? They finished the work for God. They finished it. They finished it. Hey, don't give up on rearing your kids. Finish it. Finish it. Finish serving God with your life. Finish that marriage, no matter what comes. You say, well, it's looking pretty grim right now. Finish it. Just get it back together. I'll help you. I'd be glad to help you in any way that I can. We can get it back together. We can salvage that child. We can put you back on your feet. We can pump enough Bible in you and enough preaching in you that you can get some victory in your life. You can overcome the sin in your life. You can do it with the help of Jesus Christ. But finish what God started in you. He started a work in you. Now let's get it finished. Finish it. Finish the rest of your life serving God. Hey, I don't know of anybody in this church from the previous pastorate that ever left this church and they're back now. I don't know of anybody like that. If that's you, let me tell you something. Won't you finish this time the right way? Won't you finish the rest of your life being loyal to your church and the Bible and your pastor? Hey, if you're one of those people, and there's bound to be some here. Again, Brother Smith's not told me of anybody like that. If you're here and you caused division in the past and you thought you were smarter than the preacher in the past, hey, now that you're back, well, won't you get yourself right with God, stay right with God, never have that problem again? Or when it happens, people are going to say, well, I expected that out of him. Did it once before. Then won't you finish? Finish. Finish this thing the right way. If you're not saved tonight, let me tell you something. The devil don't want you saved. He opposes it. He does not want you born again. You may be a church member here tonight. You're not born again. Devil come and he'll say, you'll be embarrassed to get saved. Don't get saved. There are church members in churches everywhere. They're not born again. They join the church, but they're not saved. If you're here tonight, the devil will oppose you from getting saved. If you're a guest here tonight and you're not born again, if you die tonight, you're not sure you'd go to heaven. You could get saved tonight and make sure you're on your way to heaven. If that's not been the case, if you're not saved, the devil will say, you don't want to do that. You do that at another time. Your fear of people. Let me tell you what you do. You don't let the opposition of the devil keep you from starting a revival in your life. Let me review and I'm done. Opposition came. God had started a revival. They were rebuilding some things. The wrong kind of people tried to join forces. They had the sense to say, no, we're an independent work of God. They tried to trouble the building by weakening the hands. They tried to hire counselors to frustrate their purposes. They made false accusations, actually wrote letters. You know something? There will be someone that's going to send you an email, try to tell you something bad about somebody in our church to try to destroy the revival. I can guarantee it. They tried legal hindrances. And if you're not doing anything for God, there's no reason for the devil to fight you. But the more that you have potential of doing, the more the devil's going to keep you from doing right. He's going to do everything he can to stop the revival from going forward. Let's all be able to say about what God wants us to build, exactly what was said about Ezra. It says, and this house was finished. He's hung on the cross. Those words he said, it is finished. It's finished. I have done to date what I planned to do. Now God has a plan for your life. You do it. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let your family stop you. Don't let your family stop you. Probably, I joke and I say, in West Virginia, everybody's related. You know, that's the joke. The truth is, there are a lot of people in this area that are related. There's some of you, you're going to cower to your family. You'll be out of this church in 3 years. Because you learn something from the Bible and your family won't swallow it. I don't want you to start a war with the family. The war's with the devil, but you better stand with Jesus. Or you'll regret it. And this house was finished. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.